My name is Ben. I'm the youth minister here, and we do a children's moment every Sunday since COVID. And so I'd love to have all the youngins in here. Okay, I'll give elementary preschool kids. I know some of you guys consider yourself young and you're not. So just come on forward. You can have a seat up here because you're going to want to be close to be able to see what I'm doing. And then we're going to go from there to junior church, and junior church is in the classrooms in the hallway right behind here, and you can pick up your kids after church back there. So come on, have a seat up here. Have a seat. Have a seat. Oh, hi. All right. The Israelites who are in, we read about them a lot in the Old Testament, they had traveled through the wilderness for 40 years through the desert, and they come up to this river, and the river is called the Jordan River, and across the river, the Jordan River, is the Promised Land. It's the land that God has promised them to build their nation, to do all this great stuff through them, to bring Jesus to us, and so across that way, so they have to cross this river, and this river is flowing, and God says, I want you to take the ark, all right, which was that held the covenant and that kind of stuff. And he said, I want you to take that, and I want you to carry that into the Jordan River. All right, so they're going to take their most precious thing, and they're going to walk out into the middle of the river with it, which seems kind of crazy. But they do it, and when they do, you know what happens? The water stops flowing. The water stops flowing, and it becomes dry ground. And it's amazing. And everybody, the entire nation of Israel, walks across the dry riverbed of the Jordan River. And they've got the ark, and the priests are holding it there. And once everybody's through, they send leaders back into the dry river ground. Each leader picks up a rock. All right? Now, they picked up probably big rocks. I didn't have any big rocks at home, so I brought these small rocks. And they each pick up a rock, and see how many we have here. We have 1, 2, 3. And they take them, these rocks, for, we'll see if that one might have to go on top, 5. And they stack them a little better than I'm able to stack these this morning. And they make a big pillar on the other side of the Jordan River. Oh, how many do I have? Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8, 9, 10. Okay, all right. We'll pretend. All right. 11, 12. There's 12 stones here, and there's one for each tribe that crossed the Jordan River. And they make a big pile of these stones. They stack them all up there. And you know why they stacked them there?
Why?
Does that seem kind of weird that they would just stack a pile of rocks by the Jordan? It was so that each time that they passed that, for generations to come, and their kids would ask, why is there a giant pile of stones there? They could answer of what God had done for them. And it was to be a sign and a symbol for them and say, hey, look at all the neat things that God did for us throughout the wilderness, how he provided for us. And it was a reminder that every time they saw this pile of stones, they knew what God had done for them. And today, here at church, we are celebrating 100 years. And this for us is like this pile of stones. This is a reminder for us of all the things that God has done for us. And what I want you guys to do today is I want you to keep your ears open, and I want you to listen to all the stories that you're going to hear today and all the neat things that people who have come to this church over this past 100 years and all the things that God has done for them and for this neighborhood. And I want you to listen to those neat stories, because that's like this pile of stones. When kids would walk by and they would ask their parents would tell them all the neat things that God had done. And we are celebrating all the neat things that God has done for us over the past 100 years today. So keep your ears open today, okay? All right, and I'm going to turn it over to Fred while we go back to junior church.
Thank you, Brother Ben. Don't leave. I'm going to let you sing happy birthday to the church. It is so good to see all the faces here today, all the people who are here. Many of those faces I recognize. Many of you I do not. But we once have one thing in common. You have a connection here at Garfield Christian Church. And Garfield Christian Church is 100 years old, celebrating its 100th birthday. Amen? So I think it's appropriate that we sing happy birthday to Garfield. All right? So I'm going to have our brother Don to lead that, if you will, please, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Garfield. Happy birthday to you. Yes.
Thank you, brother.
And many more.
Amen, amen, amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 9. Now, I want us to look at verses 35 through 38, a very familiar passage to you. But I want you to listen to Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. It says here that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Again, Garfield, 100 years old. Now, our sister Elizabeth Spencer is not here this morning. She is going to be here during the 1:30, maybe coming at noontime today. Garfield Christian Church is 1 year older than Elizabeth Spencer, okay? Elizabeth Spencer is 99 years old. And she said, "I don't know if I can be here all day, but I'm coming for dinner," okay? So she's going to be here for lunch today, and glad to have her with us. But on June 4th, 1922, Garfield Park Christian Church dedicated its new building, then located on the corner of Bradbury and Boyd Streets. That's just a few blocks from here. And they dedicated that church with its very first worship service. The name changed from Garfield Park Christian Church to Garfield Christian Church in 1928. Now, the photo you see here was taken in 1934. I tried to look for a 1922 photo, and I could not find one. But this was the church of Garfield Christian Church back in 1934. But the dedication message that was presented that day by B.L. Allen was titled, "What Are We Here For?" I really like that title. I mean, can you imagine coming, you know, your very first worship service in the building there on Bradbury Street? You know, very first worship service, a very first sermon you hear, a very first church that's on that lot, and they hear the message, "What are we here for?" I mean, I would love to hear that message, wouldn't you? Just to hear what they would have to say. I mean, Garfield Christian Church ministered in that location for 38 years, but then on Easter Sunday, April 3rd, 1960, 62 years ago, this church held its very first worship service in a new building on Walker Avenue where we are worshiping right now. And on that Easter morning, the church gathered, you know, at the old church building on Bradbury Street, and walked over to the new location on Walker Avenue. In fact, some of our current members were there. And so if you were here the very first Sunday morning in 1960, will you please stand? Will you please stand if you were here that day, okay? All right. I was hoping that Michael Harris would be here. Michael Harris, is he here? He told me he was going to be here this morning. Michael Harris was telling us, he's a member of our church here, and he said that he was the second person to be baptized in this church, right after his brother. And so that's something that he talks about, and he talks about often because it meant so much to him. But for 100 years, Garfield Christian Church has been a light in the Big Creek community. You know, through our preaching and teaching, serving and ministering, caring for and sharing with our neighbors. When I first came to Garfield, it was 12 years ago. It will be in July. It will be my 12th year here. I'm going on my 13th year. But when I first came to Garfield 12 years ago, I heard from so many of you telling me how much this neighborhood has changed over the years. And many of you, you know, you grew up in this area. You lived here, you grew up in this area, and you saw firsthand the changes that have been taking place over the past few decades. And what was once a more stable community, with families, you know, moving in, buying homes, staying for years, has now become more of a transient community with people coming and going. What was once a flourishing suburb has now become more of a, you know, debilitated urban community that has been hit hard, not only economically, but socially with the increase of crime and homelessness. Even churches have come and gone over the past several decades, some closing their doors, others going to what they considered more prosperous areas. And undoubtedly, over the years, watching the changes that were occurring in this neighborhood, questions and concerns were raised by some as to whether or not it was feasible for Garfield Christian Church to relocate, to find another location. And yet the leaders of this church back then and even today remain strong in their conviction that this community needs this church. Amen? It needs this church. Now, again, the first sermon at Garfield Christian Church in 1922 asked the question, what are we here for? And 100 years later in 2022, I want us to consider the question, why are we still here? So I want us to take a look here, first of all, why we are still here. Number one, there are still people in our neighborhood who are lost. Why are we still here? That's the reason. The reason that the Christian leaders looked at property to purchase at the Garfield Park or Bean Creek area 100 years ago is because they wanted to reach the south side of Indianapolis for Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the main purpose that Jesus left His church on this earth when He ascended into heaven, you know, to be with the Father, to reach lost souls for Him. I mean, Jesus gave His disciples just shortly, right before His ascension, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to anybody who will listen. And so in 1922, Christian leaders looked at this area south of downtown that was being newly developed and thought, there's our mission field. These are the people who need to hear the gospel. And they built a place of worship right there on the corner of Bradbury and Boyd. Now, aren't you glad they did? Amen? That they had that vision to come to South Indianapolis, south of town, and to build this church. And as a result of their vision, during the last 100 years, countless numbers of people were taught the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Many of you were part of that. I see our brother Tom Franklin back there for 17 years as the preacher here. There is Scott Davis as a youth minister, and Randy Sparks as a youth minister, and so many more. And this church, we're part of that, reaching out to people and bringing them to Jesus Christ. And some of those early converts 100 years ago were your ancestors. They were your family who became dedicated followers of Christ. And they began sharing the gospel of Christ with their family, their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that's why so many of you are here today in this building worshiping God, because of your ancestors who loved Jesus and remained faithful to Him. And during those early converts, they began sharing the gospel with their friends and their neighbors and co-workers. And Garfield Christian Church continued to grow. In fact, they outgrew their building on Boyd Street and had no way to expand, so Pastor Wilbur Harvey secured a 3.5-acre tract off of Walker Avenue, and they built a small A-frame building. Bring that up. A small A-frame building with bold plans to add on as more and more people were brought to Jesus Christ. They were carrying on the mission that Jesus gave His disciples. However, that mission to reach the lost began with Jesus. In our text here, Matthew records in verse 35 that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Now, I mean, that's why Jesus came, isn't it? In fact, He tells Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, that the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost, Luke 19, verse 10. And that's exactly what He did. And everywhere Jesus went, He shared the good news of the kingdom. And as the Lord of the harvest, Jesus just went about spreading the seed of God's word. I mean, He went to religious leaders and prostitutes and tax collectors, and he shared the good news with the rich and poor, old and young, Jews and Gentiles. I mean, people were dying in their sins, and Jesus had the way for people to be saved, but they could not be saved unless they heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why during his early ministry, Jesus went everywhere sharing that good news. And brothers and sisters, we as a church are the extended body of Christ carrying on that mission. People are dying in their sins. In fact, people that you know personally. After sharing the good news of the kingdom to an immoral Samaritan woman that Jesus met at Jacob's well, who then in turn began to share that good news with others, with their entire village, Jesus gathered His disciples together, and He said in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Have you ever gotten into your car and driven around the Bean Creek neighborhood surrounding this church building? I mean, just driving down the streets, going north and south and east and west. As you take that drive, you will see all kinds of people outside in their yards, especially on cooler days, but they will be outside in their yards, kids playing games, parents, doing yard work, washing their cars, grandparents sitting on their lawn chairs, enjoying the outdoors and watching the grandkids play. But if you slow down and take a good look, you will be looking into the faces of lost people. people who do not know Christ. In fact, many people who don't even know they're lost. And sadly, you will find many who don't even care. But among those within our neighborhood are those who are seeking. They are waiting for someone to tell them about Jesus. We just have to open our eyes and look. I truly believe that Garfield Christian Church is still here because those lost people. They are lost without Christ. I mean, Jesus tells us in verse 37, He says, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. I mean, there are a lot of lost people in our neighborhood. However, the challenge, where's Don Boston? Opportunity, I forgot, brother, okay? He told me not the word, to use the word challenge today, okay? But so the opportunity before us is to help those to know that they are lost and desperately need Jesus. Amen? Amen? They need Jesus. Now, there are two concepts suggested from Jesus' word of harvest. The first one is urgency. Say that with me. Urgency. Urgency in sharing the gospel. I mean, Jesus is telling the disciples not to delay reaping the souls hopelessly lost in sin. Friends, without Jesus, there is no hope of salvation. So Christ is urging us, you and me, to start now reaching out to those that we know who are lost. Our family and friends, our neighbors and co-workers, you know, the people with whom, who are in our circle of influence, and share with them the good news of Jesus. That is yours and my responsibility. But the second word is receptivity. Say that with me. Receptivity. It's the receptivity of the gospel. I used to sell Kirby vacuum cleaners door to door. Yeah, I was that guy. And my boss, who was also an elder of the church, told me that there is always someone who is ready to buy a Kirby. I mean, they were just waiting for me to knock on their door and just, you know, bring in the machine. You know, they were just ready out there. And in my experience, I found out more times than not that he was right. I just had to go out there and knock on doors. And I believe this is even more true of the gospel. There are people right here in our neighborhood who are starving for the good news of Jesus Christ. They are sick and tired of the lifestyle they are living and ready to make a change. They just don't know it yet, but Jesus is the one who can bring about that change in their lives. And that's why we need to keep on sharing Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. So why are we still here? Secondly, there are still people in our neighborhood who are hurting. They're hurting. Matthew records again in our text here in verse 35, the latter part of the verse, that Jesus not only went everywhere sharing the good news of the kingdom, but he went out healing people of their diseases and sickness. You see, Jesus didn't just have concern for souls, but for people. He cared for the needs of people. He healed their maladies and he saved their souls. And more often than not, Jesus helped with their physical needs before he ever taught them. He helped with their physical needs. And this helped them to be more willing to listen as Jesus began to share the good news. Friends, the church is not to be concerned with only the spiritual needs of others and care nothing for their physical and emotional needs. What motivated Jesus, as we see here, is to share the good news of the gospel to those who were lost and to heal their diseases and then their sickness, of those who were hurting. What motivated him was his compassion for them. Again, Matthew records in verse 36 that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It's quite a description, isn't it? Lost, harassed, and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, this word for harassed, that's the NIV translation of it. I don't know what other translations have. But the Greek word for harassed means to be flayed, mangled, and lacerated. This is what Jesus is seeing. These people turn to the Pharisees for strength and guidance, but instead came back spiritually butchered by them. And when Jesus saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion. Now, this is much more than just feeling sorry for them. You know, we look at people out there, you know, you take the drive around Bean Creek Community and you see these people and you think, oh, I feel so sorry for them. But this word means much more than just feeling sorry. I mean, the term used here refers to his insides and gut-level yearning that moved him to action. Jesus longed for the lost and hurting people, and he did something about it. But did you notice in this text where Jesus said that he needed help? I mean, the Son of God needs our help. Because as Jesus went through the towns and villages, you know, he encountered a lot of lost and hurting people. And as he continued to minister to their needs and share with them the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, more and more people came. And so finally, Jesus turns to his disciples in verses 37 and 38, and he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, well, they're few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into his harvest field." Now, I have no doubt whatsoever that the 12 were out there working right alongside Jesus, doing what they could to minister to the needs of those who came. But there were so many more lost and hurting people out there who needed to hear the good news and to be ministered to. Church, the Bean Creek neighborhood is our immediate harvest field. And many, probably the most, of the people in our community are a lot like those that Jesus encountered, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. There are those whose lives are so empty and meaningless. I mean, they've turned to drugs, alcohol, sex, and one relationship after another to fill the void in their lives, but yet the emptiness remains. But we know what they need, don't we? We know that they need Jesus. And that's why Garfield Christian Church is still here. Our weekly worship service provide an intimate avenue for people in our community to connect with God on a spiritual level, through the means of raising our voices in God to God in jubilant praise, communing with Jesus as we partake of his body and his blood through the Lord's Supper, hearing the Word of God boldly proclaimed week after week. Our benevolence ministry has provided for the physical needs of countless people in our neighborhood, such as food and shelter and clothing, as well as helping with medical expenses, utility bills, transportation, funeral expenses, and on it goes as we are able. Our biblical counseling ministry has guided people within this church and the community to the great counselor, God Himself. As we turn to the Word of God, you know, just trying to help people with their marital, emotional, and spiritual problems. And it's greatly disappointing that more of our neighbors are not coming to this church. But it would be devastating to the Bean Creek neighborhood if Garfield Christian Church wasn't still here. It would be devastating. Again, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." For 100 years, Garfield Christian Church has had a presence in the Bean Creek neighborhood. But undoubtedly, the question that has been in the back of the minds of many of our members is, how much longer? How much longer will we be here? And like the majority of churches in today's culture, Garfield Christian Church is struggling. In 2021, statistically, in 2021, for the first time in American history, church membership in the United States fell below 50% of the American population. There are people, less than 50% of Americans, who claim to have any church membership. And then in just 20 years, the church membership fell from 70% in 2000, in the year 2000, to 47%. Who knows how much more since 2022? I mean, the harvest is indeed plentiful. And so let's start praying fervently to the Lord of harvest to send us workers in the harvest field. Friends, God is not, you know, what we got to understand is that we are to have people working alongside us. Because God is not going to send us workers if we are unwilling to roll up our sleeves and work. So share your faith. Share your faith with people you know, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and you can start simply by inviting people to come worship with you. And you'll be surprised how many who will. On this wall here, and you'll see it on the wall as you leave, is our mission. And our mission is to connect with God. And so we ask people, come to worship. To grow in Christ. We want them to join a Bible study where they can learn more and more of what God wants them to be in their lives. To serve one another, to help in a ministry, and to reach the lost, to invite a friend. And that's what it will take in this world. And because our mission is just simply based upon the Great Commission. And it's based upon the Great Commandment. To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbors yourself. And so, brothers and sisters, what we are to do and what will help Garfield Christian Church to stay right here where it is, we've got to start praying. Amen? We've got to start praying. Let me ask you, I'd like to see a show of hands here. How many of you know somebody personally who is not saved? Will you raise your hand if you know somebody personally who's not saved? Okay. I expected that because, I mean, we are around people all the time. Whether it's at work and your neighbors, you know, to come to the whatever activity that you're in. But there are some of those people that you know personally that you love deeply. A husband, yes. A husband, a wife, a daughter, a son, a grandchild, a great-grandchild. Maybe it's a neighbor. Could be the guy that you work alongside with at work. But there are people that we know personally who are lost. I want you to think about which one of those persons that you know who are lost, which one that you are closest to. And start there. Start there. Start praying for that person now. Start praying for opportunities to be able to share Christ with that person. Look for those opportunities. I believe if we pray for opportunities, God will give us opportunities. Do you? I mean, that's how it works. I mean, God says, just ask. Just ask. You have not because you don't ask. So we need to pray for those opportunities. And God will give you an opportunity to be able to share your faith with that person in your life that you are closest to. Because we, one day, Christ is coming again. One day, this world is going to be judged. One day. And we want those people to be with us in heaven, don't we? That's what we want. And so start now. We're going to be singing the invitation song. And during this invitation song, is again, it's just an opportunity for us to just look deep within our hearts and our souls. And to ask the question, you know, do I really know Christ? Do I live for Him? I mean, there may be some here who have never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in baptism. We want to talk to you about that this morning. There may be some here as Christians who are just struggling in life. I know some of those concerns personally. And yet there are others that I may not know, but God knows. And we are here this morning as your church family. We may not all be here every Sunday morning together, but we are still part of the family of God wherever we are. Amen? We are part of the family of God. And as the family of God, we want to be here for you and to pray for you and to strengthen you. And so if we can help you this morning, to pray for you, to talk to you about Jesus. If we could just put an arm around you, we want to do that this morning as together we stand and we sing.